Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. And you can find this podcast on Instagram under the username flipthescript.pod. We also have a Patreon group. It is patreon.com/flipthescript, where we are releasing bonus audio as well as early episodes. Okay, I just want to clear up really quickly that I will now be releasing episodes once a month in order to get a little bit of a work-life balance for me. I'm going to space out my episodes. However, if you join the Patreon group and you can't wait, you are going to get episodes a little bit early. This week's guest is Hadrian. I'm so excited to have Hadrian on the podcast with me. He is someone that I have been speaking to online for what feels like years now, but it's so nice to actually have a conversation with somebody. You can find Hadrian on Instagram and YouTube, and I will include all of that information in the show notes for you. I know so many of you are big fans of his channel and content, and so without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hi, Hadrian. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm so excited. I was literally just saying that right before I hit record about how excited I think a lot of people are going to be to hear this episode. I know you have like a million and one fans out there in our community who just so enjoy consuming all of your content online, especially on YouTube. So I think this is going to be a really great interview. So thank you again for joining me. And I guess to just jump right into it, you know, my first question for you, Hadrian, is how and when did you first start reselling?
Well, I first started reselling, I think about 6 years ago. And I was, I first was introduced into thrifting first by a good friend of mine who always wanted to take me to the thrift store, but I was always kind of like hesitant because I didn't grow up thrifting, but I grew up always looking for deals. My mom was like the deal queen. If there was a coupon for it, if there was like some sort of like sale or something, like literally like when we were kids, she would just drag us to sales every weekend and like
my sort of gal
be sitting there, right? Yeah, so I learned from the queen. So that's kind of what got me into it. And that first trip, I found a pair of Chanel heels. And then that kind of like cemented it for me. I was like, wow. What? Like, I was like, cause I was so like, I'm not gonna find anything when I get to the store. Like, this is like I'm just gonna find like haunted underwear or something from like a grandma. I don't know. So I was just like, what am I gonna find? But let's go, like I'll try it. And of course, like that's literally like one of the first things I find. And after that, I was just hooked onto thrifting. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like how do people not know about thrifting? Like I never heard, none of my friends other than that one friend that I had like ever talked about going to thrift store or anything of that nature. Like all I thought about thrift store, that's where you go to donate like your old clothes and furniture or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, well, that I need to start, like I need to share this gift with the world. And that's kind of how I started my YouTube channel. And when I was starting my YouTube channel, I was pretty much just thrifting for myself and for my family. And I have like this huge extended family in the Philippines. And I don't know if you know, like Filipinos, like we send these boxes to the Philippines called balikbayan boxes. So roughly translated means back home boxes. So if you're like overseas, you send these giant boxes to your family in the Philippines full of like goodies or whatever, like clothing, canned goods, household items and all that stuff. And I actually was thrifting a lot for them, and I would buy all this stuff to send to the Philippines. Like, man, this is like an amazing deal. I can get all these clothes and shoes, because I literally, we have 5 million family members, and it's like it's like stuff in the Philippines is just so expensive. And then as I was filming and all that stuff, like I would people that would start following me on YouTube were like, oh my gosh, can I buy that from you? Can I get this from you? And I was like, oh wait. I was like, yeah, like why not? So then I started thrifting for people on YouTube. And then that's kind of like how I first got started onto reselling.
Wow. Okay, that's a story. So do you remember, I can't remember exactly what you said, but do you remember roughly like the year it was that you first went to a thrift store?
Probably like in right now it's like 2021, so probably like in 2015-ish.
Okay, so
Yeah.
2015, you start going to thrift stores and they're magical. And you hit the jackpot on like the first try. What do they call that in Vegas? Like beginner's luck, finding the Chanel. That's pretty amazing.
It's
Yeah.
insane.
I mean, so you, I imagine what you were going the next day, the next day, the next day. Were you kind of chasing that high of finding the Chanel? Because I would. That's
Oh
why I asked.
yeah, no, that's why I like have I literally almost go thrifting almost every day at least. Like I try, like there's a little mom and pop thrift store by my house, and I will try to hit that store up at least once a day. Sometimes I'll go twice because I'm crazy.
Yeah. And I saw, I know from your YouTube videos, you do find like a lot of good designer items. I mean, do you live in an area kind of where you have an opportunity to get more designer items, or are you just really good, Hadrian?
Maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really lucky. I do live in Southern California, so of course there's like a lot of, I don't know, like a lot of wealth in this area. And I primarily go thrifting in Orange County at the Goodwills over there. And that's actually a drive for me. So I only go on the weekends because the drive is about an hour away. So I make a day of it every time I go. So I go about to eight different stores.
And I'm just curious because, I think it's always really awesome, right? When we find designer items at the thrift store. I mean, do you find, but I feel like, Goodwill and thrift stores, they're getting pretty savvy about, picking that stuff out. I mean, are you still finding nice designer items just in the racks, or are you going up to like the boutique section or something? I don't know what they have in your stores.
Oh yeah. I still am finding really good things despite them like kind of like they will mark things up like every now and then. And there are like the Goodwill boutiques where they will like they separate all that stuff, and like there's like a whole store dedicated to just the items that they pull. But just in the regular stores, I'm still finding some amazing, amazing, amazing pieces. So they're
Isn't
not
that the best
finding
feeling?
everything. It's
Yeah, I know. It's like the best feeling. You're like, oh my gosh, you guys forgot one.
right? Yeah.
Okay, so you started your YouTube channel really before you even were thinking about selling these items off. And
Yes.
so, were you just having fun like doing haul videos? Like, how did that start for
Yeah, like
you?
my thing is that I wanted to take people into the store with me. So I'd actually like film inside the store, and I'll be like, ooh, like look at this, look at that. Oh my gosh, I just found this Chanel wallet or something like that. And that I just like kind of like wanted people to experience kind of like what I was like as like in lifetime kind of. And it was also kind of a way for me to share with like my family in the Philippines, because we're literally the only ones that live here in America. And they all live like overseas, like in the Philippines or Japan or whatever. So it was a way to also connect with them to like bring them into our lives. So that's how I started like the YouTube channel with going out thrifting and then vlogging and all that.
That's awesome. I never thought about it being a way to connect with family, but yeah, I mean, if you're somebody who lives, maybe in your state, or you live in a country where none of your other family is, it's just a way for people to watch and catch up with your stuff.
So you wanted to kind of bring the thrift to everybody. Do you feel like you got a response like from the community who was watching your videos? Like, were the people who were watching or consuming your content at that time, were they not familiar with thrift stores, or were you finding that you were attracting resellers?
You know, what's weird is like when I first started for years, like even up until kind of fairly recently, since I started on that the app Clubhouse, mm-hmm. I barely knew any resellers or ever really came in contact with other resellers like online or anything like that. I feel like the community that I was tapping into on YouTube was just like thrifters, that people just that just love like the thrill of the hunt. They weren't necessarily going thrifting to resell, but it's just like thrifting to just like find amazing deals for themselves or for their family and stuff like that. And yeah, it's crazy that I didn't really have any reseller friends at all until like maybe the past few months.
Yeah. And then you also mentioned, sorry, I'm kind of skipped over one thing, but mentioned about filming in the thrift stores. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the thrift stores are cool with it and sometimes they aren't. Do you have a good relationship with yours that you can do that? Or, I mean, at this point, I imagine
it's
probably pretty well, right?
Yeah. Generally, I'll ask, like, if it's a store that I have been to, like, I'll go and, like, be like, oh, am I allowed to film in the store? Da, da, da. I have this YouTube channel. And I've actually kind of started a relationship with the Orange County Goodwills, and also the Goodwill SoCal section as well. And I have actually worked in partnership with them on a few different projects. So they all know me. My videos literally play in their back rooms. So yeah, it's really strange. Like people that work there will like walk up to me, like they'll be like, you're the guy from the videos in the back of the room. I'm like, yeah, oh that's me. So it's cool. It's like, I feel like I don't know. It's kind of like mixed reviews. Like some people are like, right. Oh, like you're giving away all the secrets, da da da. Mm-hmm. Like you're telling them all the brands, all that stuff. But then I'm also like, well, they could have just done that themselves without me. Like they're still going to find these YouTube videos or blogs or whatever talking about all this stuff. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're not the only channel. If it's not your channel, it's going to be somebody else's. So exactly. Yeah, that was kind of my next question. I was just curious about, you know, well, one, I think it's funny that the employees recognize you, but I was more thinking also like the other shoppers, right? Potentially, are you being spotted in the store? Like, oh my gosh, I'm here on the day he's filming.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I never think that anyone's ever going to recognize me, especially since the pandemic, we're all wearing masks and all that stuff. Right. But I guess I just have a really loud, distinct voice. And I guess the camera doesn't hurt either, but they're like, oh my gosh, are you Adrian? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm watching your YouTube channel. And it's just really cool, like getting to meet people. And I guess a lot of people have been watching thrifting YouTube videos recently, because almost every time I go out, I'll meet someone, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't know this store until like I found your channel and I came here and it's awesome, da da da. So I think it's like amazing. I'm able to connect really cool. and meet all these people. It's really fun.
Yeah. Okay. So since you said that your mom was the deal queen in your life, does she enjoy thrifting with you, or do you have friends who go with you? I know a friend brought you kind of into the thrifting world, but did you introduce it to your family since then?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. It's a problem. Like when I first started thrifting, I was like, mom, you got to go with me. And then she was like, she was also like, oh, I'm just going to find haunted underwear too. And then I was like, no, you have to go. Like, I promise. Like, and I would like bring home like these things for her. Like, I'd be like, oh, look, I found you these shoes. I found you this handbag. And my mom is very into handbags, which is how I got into like I primarily resell just handbags. And I pretty much have heard a thing for that, because I got that love from her and all the knowledge from her and all that stuff. So once I started bringing home the handbags, she was like, well, I need to see where these things are coming from. So I got her to go. My dad started going. And what's even funnier is that her friends they started watching my YouTube videos, and then they're like, wait, we need to go thrifting too. So like, every month and a half or something, I will literally bring my mom and her friends on a thrifting tour, like on the weekend. Nice. And we will just hit up a bunch of stores and be able to just go crazy. Go shopping.
That's fun. You guys just take over the store.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm curious too. You know, you say that you like selling handbags. Is there, you know, in your area, do you find one handbag to be more common than others that you pick up to sell?
Yeah, actually, I find a lot of Coach bags and a lot of like Michael Kors. Like those two, I think I find the most of. And then maybe third would be like Fossil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when you started selling, so you're featuring these items from your hauls on your YouTube channel, and then people start piping up and saying, hey, I might want that, or I'd be interested in that. You know, did you start to look at the reseller community at all? You know, did you start thinking like, oh, maybe I should sell this on eBay or Poshmark, Mercari, wherever, different places?
Yeah, what's funny is like a subscriber actually was like, oh, you should sell your stuff on Poshmark. And I was like, Poshmark? I was like, what's that? Then I like looked into it. And then I did some research and I was like, okay, like this is interesting. I can put stuff up on Poshmark, start selling there. And then from just like from like, you know, like the suggested apps when you go into the app store, and then they suggested like Mercari, and then later on Depop. And then that's how I started getting on there. But what's weird is like, I didn't really go looking for like, I don't know why I didn't do this. I know it's like so strange, but I didn't go look for like other resellers on like Instagram or like YouTube or anything. I kind of just like, just went at it blindly and just try to do my own thing. But I would read like articles or whatever, blogs online for like what I should, like where I should go, what I should do and all that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, because I think that, you know, the reseller community, it's really niche, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's people wouldn't know we exist for the most part. You really have to like stumble upon it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, there's these group of people who go to thrift stores or wherever to get stuff and then sell it online. And just curious, you know, because you had your YouTube channel going, at what point, because you said that was, what year was the YouTube channel? Because you said you kind of started thrifting around 2015, right?
Yeah, probably like 2016-ish. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it was like then, a little, like a few months after, but I was like, I think it was the next year.
Got it. And then at what point was it, that same year in 2016 where you started selling stuff online?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's when I started Poshmark. That's when, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that, you know, maybe even a few years prior is when the community, I think, really started growing, because I came into it at around probably the end of 2016. You know, these algorithms are too smart. They find us, or you know what I mean? Like the content finds us. We don't necessarily find it. Yeah. It's crazy in that way. Okay. So you're selling to people on YouTube, and then you get the suggestion to go over to Poshmark. So did you stop selling on YouTube and start focusing more on platforms at that time, or were you kind of keeping it all going?
No, I was kind of keeping it all going. I would sell, I tried to sell on a lot of platforms at first. Like I literally went at it. Like it was all or nothing for me. So once I started that Poshmark, I started eBay, then I started Mercari, then I started Depop. And I was also trying to sell on Instagram as well. And then it all kind of just got like a little crazy for me. And I literally just consolidated everything into just like one thing, which was Depop. So primarily now I just sell on Depop, or I do like live sales. And if people want, I will put things on Poshmark or Mercari if they like want to use their credits. But that's like, Depop is primarily where I live at the moment as far as reselling goes.
Okay, cool. And so Depop, you know, it has, I think, a reputation of having like a younger demographic of shoppers. And some would even say the style is more niche on there, right? People are looking for specific things. You know, sometimes, you know, I've heard modeling your items does really well, or having a certain aesthetic. You know, I guess I'm curious, you know, what are you posting over there in your Depop store?
Well, when you think of Depop, like what you were saying, like people modeling their clothes, like there's usually like a wacky background or stuff like that. Like I am like the complete polar opposite. Like I'm kind of trying to sell to their parents, like their mom. Like, so like if you go to my page, like it's literally like I just have my white background, and then like I usually sell handbags, like I said, so I'll just have like the handbag, and I try to make it look as professional as possible because I'm just a little like OCD with my photos. Mm-hmm. So when I actually first started, I would always get flagged for using, like on Depop, you're not allowed to use stock photos. Mm-hmm. And I would get flagged all the time for stock photos until I keep emailing them, telling them to send my photos, da, 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 until finally they stopped doing that. But yeah, it's my Depop shop is totally the opposite of what normally you would think of
Depop. I think that's a great answer, because I think a lot of times we think, you know, a platform has to be a certain way, right? Like, oh, well, that platform's not meant for me to sell on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to hear that you're having success with just doing a plain white background, selling items that maybe won't interest a 19-year-old, but possibly interests somebody of an older demographic, that's great to hear. I mean, gives me hope for my inventory.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I feel like anyone can have success on any platform as long as like you just really put all the work into it.
Yeah, and I'm curious too, because I would, you know, Depop has, is it 10%?
10%, yes.
Okay, and Mercari has 10% also, and Poshmark has 20. So I'm curious, you know, and they're all kind of similar in a way-ish, mm-hmm. except Poshmark, you have to share the items. Why Depop out of those three, of which have kind of similar, simple user interfaces?
I like it because, before when Depop first started, it was all through like all payments and stuff were through PayPal. And now like they've opened up like other forms of payment, but you can still use PayPal. And that's what I liked. Like everything was just through PayPal. Like my whole business was just done pretty much through there and just kept everything in one space. Mm-hmm. And that's why I liked it so much, because literally I just had everything in one area and it mm-hmm. was easy for me to manage.
Okay, cool. I was just curious why just Depop. So right now you said you're only putting stuff on Poshmark, like if people want to use credits or anything, and then you're not on eBay. Is that correct?
Not on eBay anymore, no.
Gotcha. But you did it at one point, right?
Yes, I did. It was too like overwhelming for me, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you took on like
every platform. Like I commend people that do eBay, like it's crazy.
Yeah, it can be. Can be at times. Okay, so you've built up this YouTube reselling business. I'm trying to think of the right word, you know, because you're doing live selling also. So I guess, yes. Can you tell me about what does the live selling look like? Is that just on YouTube or are you doing that at all on Instagram?
I want to kind of do it onto Instagram as well, because I have a whole different like kind of subset of like followers and people on there that are separate from my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the live sales go, I will go thrifting for the day. Like it's a Saturday and I get like maybe 10, 15, 20 handbags. And instead of like taking the time to list everything and all that, like take photos, which always takes forever for me at least.
Right.
I'll just go live at night and be like, okay, we're having like a late night. I call it like, it's Hadrian's late night QVC sale. And
I saw that on your channel. I was like, a QVC sale?
Yeah, because people started calling them QVC sales. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna call it a QVC sale.
I
whatever.
Love that.
And and it's crazy because I will go on really late, maybe like 10:30 Pacific Standard Time, and it's like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. or whatever, mm-hmm. Eastern Standard Time, and people like still go on, and nice. I'll just like show them what I got, be like, oh, like look at this Michael Kors handbag. I'll show him like all like the different angles, any imperfections, and give them the price, and then hopefully people will buy it. And I found like pretty good success doing that, especially like fairly recently. I've been doing it a lot more. I've been doing them almost every weekend. And I can almost sell out everything that I bought in one sale,
wow,
which is crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when you said that you're doing it at 10:30 at night, to be honest, I was like, well, that kind of makes sense, because I feel like people who watch QVC do a lot of
watch
the shopping
at night. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of them are like maybe a little drunk and like,
you're right.
People are like, oh, like I'm having my wine, da da da. Like they're feeling good. They want to go shopping.
Yes.
They're at home having a good time. And it's like, yeah, why don't I buy that $80 Michael Kors bag? It looks fantastic. It's gonna look great like on at brunch. I don't know.
Yes. So, that's hilarious. Yeah. No, I think there's something to that method. I'm curious, you know, have you tried it, doing it at different times of the day? Is it more or less successful, or is there really not a difference?
I haven't really tried like earlier times. I always say that I am, but I always go back to like not until after 9 o'clock, because then I'm just so busy like during the day. I'm always like running around. So yeah, like the only time I ever have to sit down and actually do this is like around 9 o'clock or later.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I definitely want to try earlier times. I feel horrible for the people that are like 2 a.m. and they're like, what's happening? But they're like participating, which is amazing. And I don't know if they're like delirious and buying stuff, but like, I mean, it's working. I hear people about like buying, going on like shopping online trips, like when they're on like their sleeping medication. Like I feel like that might be happening too. It's funny.
That's your audience. Well, I love it.
Yeah.
Tell them to come over to my store too. I'll take them too.
Exactly.
Okay. So when you're preparing to go live and do one of these sales, I mean, you kind of mentioned that you're running around and you're busy throughout the day. You know, what sort of preparation do you go or do you do beforehand? Or is there any preparation beforehand in terms of like, do you sit down and you're like, okay, this is going to be the price for this. This is what I'm going to say for this. Et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
I will literally just like sit there like minutes before. I will just like try to clean up the bags really quickly. If they like need any help, I'll fix them up, clean them up, condition them, clean them. And then like the little tags that come with the bag, I'll write like the price that I'm going to do them for, and then just go live. It's really like little preparation for me.
And what sort of profit margin are you looking for when you do the live sale? I mean, is it
okay, when I do the live sales, I try to keep I try not to raise the prices too much. Like I'll probably like my profit will be like maybe $30, $40, $50, maybe the most. But I try to give everyone like as good a deal as possible while still making like a decent profit. Especially because I'm not putting as much work or investing as much into the pieces as I would be if I was like photographing them, listing them, putting them up and they're sitting. Like if I can flip them within like a few hours of buying them, then I'm okay with taking a lower amount.
Got it. And then when you put, you know, you hold up an item, I'm guessing somebody is like saying, I claim this or something to that effect.
Yeah. I'll be like, so like once I just finish describing the item and then I give them the price, like the first person that says like mine or whatever for the item is the person that wins it, and I'll send them an invoice and then they have 10 minutes to pay it.
Okay. So are you live sending the invoices or?
Yeah, I have someone that sends the invoices for me.
Gotcha.
So I just have them either send me an email or a DM on Instagram with the email address that they want me to send the invoice to. And then once it's sent, they have 10 minutes to pay.
I like that. Yeah, because you want to catch everybody in the moment. So I guess how often are you finding that people don't pay?
Very rare. I think it's only happened.
Oh, good.
Twice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that would be my concern. Everyone would be like,
that's why I'm like, well, you have 10 minutes. So then like, if they end up not wanting it, they'll be like, okay, like it goes to the next person. And I'll be like, okay, like send me your email and I'll send it to you. So that's why there's like a short window of opportunity to do the payment. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like, you know, or where do you feel like more of your business is coming from? Like most of your sales, is it coming from the live sales or is it coming from Depop?
Recently, it's been the live sales. Like I've been really pushing them recently, within like the past month. So, within the past month, I would say I've been getting a primary, like the primary, my primary income from the live sales. Yes.
Nice. And then I guess I have to ask about returns. Do people ever want to return anything? Have you had issues with that?
You know, I've been really lucky because I've heard, I know like horror stories from other people about like people like trying to return stuff going crazy. I haven't really experienced like anything horrible as far as returns go. Like people return stuff if I accidentally send them the wrong item, which is totally fine by me. Yeah. Or if like, if I gave like a wrong measurement or something, like if it's my fault, then like, of course. And that's right. Usually like, that's usually what would happen. Like that's only happened like 3 times. Like I gave like the wrong measurement for like a strap length or a backdrop or something. But mm-hmm.
I try to under promise over deliver.
Yes, exactly. So like I always try to like over deliver and like try to make the bag sound as awful as possible. Like, but like, and then when they get it, they're like, I don't even see the mark that was on the bag. Right. And I'm like, okay, great.
You're like, great, I've exceeded all expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. And I have to imagine that you've got probably a lot of regular shoppers. Is that the case?
I do. I think about 75%. I have a 75% return rate, I think, for customers.
That's awesome. So, you know, that other 25% are people, you know, how are they stumbling upon your channel? I mean, how do you get that sort of feedback?
I think like those, I think they're, those are just people that are shopping normally, like on Depop or just like searching.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just curious because it's just an interesting business model. And I just wonder how, you know, when you don't have the support of a platform, for instance, like eBay or Poshmark, you know, where the customers are already coming there and then they're just showing your products, you know, on YouTube, right? They're coming there for you and they maybe didn't know they're going to buy, but now they're going to buy.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like you're not getting traffic necessarily pushed to you.
Yeah. I pretty much like will drive my own traffic into my store.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. No, that's great though, that you've built up like a regular customer base because that's very valuable, especially 75%. Okay.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more. But I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
So you're bringing home all this amazing stuff from the thrift store. Tell me about your workspace and business operation. Do you have a room in the house, a corner of the house? How does this work?
Oh my gosh, my room is just everything. Like I have everything here. But so I have like my one little bedroom where I sleep and I film, I take photos, I have a package. But I've recently outsourced my packaging. So if I don't already have the item with me, like if I did like a live sale, or sometimes if I do a live sale, I will go drop off the items to be packaged up and delivered. And I only keep about like, I think maybe 20% of my inventory here. And it's usually like higher end, more expensive items. And then the rest I have with my friend that does my shipping, who's also a reseller. So they have like a space where they can keep all this stuff, because otherwise I would just be like inundated with so many handbags. It would be like swimming in them. I'm like, swimming in handbags instead of coins.
Right. I guess, you know, with the business model that you have, because you are turning over items so quickly doing the live sales, yeah, you're not holding on to a lot of inventory. I mean, even if you were, it would be constantly going out anyway. I mean, you're just having somebody help you with
like
the shipping.
I think
awesome.
The most I ever have in the shop, the most listings I ever have is like about like 150.
Got it. That's awesome. That's a nice amount, especially if you're just like, if your turnover is really high. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought, just because, you know, again, we kind of touched on you're maybe in an area of your state or the country, right, where there's maybe a little bit more money and possibly you find really amazing things, but also really amazing things can be found anywhere. That's also true. Mm-hmm. But have you thought about using luxury resale websites like Tradesy or The RealReal or whatever else that I can't think of in this moment?
You know, I have thought about that, especially recently, since I hear like a lot of people talking about like they just kind of make almost like a passive income by just sending things to like Fashion File, right? Or like mm-hmm. is it the RealReal that accepts like the boxes and they'll sell it for you? I thought about that, but then like when I think about like the return, I would probably still make more of a profit just trying to sell it myself.
Yeah.
But I specialize in handbags, and I do like looking at clothing and shoes. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes will pick that up too. So I think like maybe in the future I would love to do something like that, because I do love sourcing those types of things. Mm-hmm. But I never actually I usually just end up selling or sending them to my family in the Philippines.
That's great.
Instead
I'm sure
of like I will just sit on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get one of these boxes. This sounds amazing. Like a handcrafted box from Hadrian. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I literally, because that's what I use to package, like instead of like using packaging paper or whatever, when I send like breakables to the Philippines, I will mm-hmm. wrap them up in clothing.
Oh, so that's smart. Right.
That
so
way,
it works twofold.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's smart.
So the silk chiffon dresses are like great for packaging.
Right. Wait, but what sort of breakables are you sending like all the way there?
Oh, I send like a lot of like plates and like dinnerware, uh-huh. mugs. Gotcha. Those things are just so expensive in the Philippines.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
So they love that stuff.
And what is shipping or freight look like? Because I have to imagine the boxes that you're creating are really heavy.
Oh yeah. So the great thing is that there's a company here, or there's a company that sends boxes to the Philippines. And
oh, wow.
I think they only send to the Philippines and to Japan. So it's like two places. Mm-hmm. It's called LBC. And I think it's like, you can send, it's a large box. Like, I don't even know the dimensions, but it's very large. And you can send, it doesn't matter the weight because it's freight. So they send it on a boat. And I believe it's like $60 to $70 for a large box.
Whoa, that's cheap.
Which is, yeah, it is super duper cheap. But sometimes it can take up to 2 months to deliver, but I'm like, it's fine.
Okay. Right.
Like, but yeah. And I'll send like three or four at once. Or mm-hmm. we always send like boxes during the holidays too. So we send them like in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you just pre-plan, if you always kind of know that's like, okay, well, it's going to take 2 months. Send it now.
So I kind of just like, I'll just like hoard stuff. And then, and I buy so many, like I love home decorating. And I love like setting the dining table. I'm just like a crazy person. Like I will literally set the dinner table almost every night. And I try to use different plates and I do like different setups because I'm like obsessed. And I used to work for like a home furniture company. So I just grew like obsessed with home decorating and finding those things at thrift. And so like I just have a huge turnover of plates and just will send them to my family.
Well, I've seen your home in some of your YouTube videos and it's absolutely gorgeous. So kudos to your mom and also to you. And I saw the dining table in one of your videos and it looked gorgeous. I was going to say, come to my dining table, but I'd rather come to your house and sit at your dining
table. You are invited
table.
Anytime you're here, you can come over. That table though was only $30. Can you believe
what?
It?
What? Where'd you get it? Was it thrifted?
I got it at the Goodwill. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And it's actually a Pottery Barn table.
Wow.
And the top was like, it had like, I think it's like heat damage when it starts turning white, like the finish turns white from the heat. I was gonna refinish it, but then I was like, well, I always wanted like a marble table. So we had a quartz countertop fabricated for the top of the table.
Ooh, so is that expensive? Well, that was probably the most expensive part of the table.
It was probably
right?
the most expensive part of the table, yeah. And yeah, we got a like we got a good deal on it because when we moved into the house, we were getting like everything redone. Like we were getting countertops for like the backyard, and we had it all done at once. So we got a pretty good deal on it, and yeah, it's like the best, my best thrift flip. I feel like is that table.
It's gorgeous. Well, good job. It's amazing what you can find at the Goodwill. It's insane what people donate, as we both know.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thinking about, you know, the business that you've grown over, you know, the last, gosh, 5 years or more now, or just your journey with thrifting in general, you know, what do you feel like, what do you feel like are some of the challenges that you face in your business?
Some of the challenges, well, I think like especially during right now it's fairly recently, it was trying to source since like everything closed down and everything just started opening up kind of slowly. That was a little bit of a difficult time because I was like, whoa, like I don't have any inventory, I literally have nothing. And I turned to like sourcing online primarily to try and cover that. And I don't know, it's kind of like time management, maybe. I'm just like always, I'm kind of spread a little thin sometimes, like trying to do like a million things at once. If I'm not filming, I'm packaging. If I'm not packaging, I'm listening. And if I'm not doing that, I'm doing a live sale in the middle of the night. So,
you know, you mentioned sourcing online, you know, I think a lot of people turned to that this past year during the pandemic, which we're still in. But, you know, did you have luck with it? I mean, did you find that you liked it or were good at it, or it's not your cup of tea?
There's still nothing like the actual, like physical thrill of the hunt for me.
Yeah.
But I did have a lot of fun kind of, because online you can hone into specific things. If I wanted to find like a specific like type of, like I wanted to look for Chanel wallets, or if I wanted to look for Tory Burch tote bags, like I can just search for that and look for it and just like keep refreshing until something pops up. So that's what I really liked about that. But honestly, like there's nothing like just going thrifting in the stores.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Once you get the itch, you got it. I'm curious, and I meant to ask you this earlier, but it slipped my mind, and I was like thinking this whole time. I was like, what did I want to ask him? Do you ever source at the Goodwill outlet? Because you mentioned Goodwill.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I love the Goodwill outlet. I actually have a little story where I went there randomly. It was like the end of 2019. Uh-huh. And I went, and I actually went specifically to go to the Goodwill next door to it, because it's there's a regular store next to the outlet. And I was actually there for a meeting because I was doing a video for Goodwill SoCal, like we were doing some sort of collaboration for Halloween, and I was like, I'm just gonna go to the bins really quick, just gonna go around over there. And lo and behold, I found a pink Hermes blanket.
A pink Hermes what?
A pink Hermes blanket, like a throw.
What?
Yeah. Oh, and it was just sitting there in like a, and you know, like if you've been to the bins,
yes,
like the older bins are like that no one's like looking at anymore, like those have been there for a while. And that's where I started. It's just like, I'm just gonna go look over here and see what they have. And I just found, like, I just saw something sticking out, it had an H on it, and like I'm like, hello, it's H for Hadrian. So I had to go look at it. And I pulled it out and I was like, oh my gosh. Like I was having heart palpitations, I was like kind of dying. And like the blanket itself was like, honestly, it looked like a baby threw up on it, probably did. My friends and I joked that it was what's his name, Jeffrey Star's dog's blanket, because if you ever watch his YouTube videos, like they literally lay on Hermes blankets.
Oh my god.
We were like, yeah, like he just donated this because it's like gross and full of like dog fur and dog vomit or whatever. And I was so excited, and like I ran home And I was like, I'm gonna wash this blanket. Like, now that I had my mom help me, because she is like a ways of getting stains out of anything. Mm-hmm. And with her help, I was able to clean it, and now it's like perfection. And
that's amazing.
The bins, yes, love yes. them. Though I never have like good luck finding handbags, but mm-hmm. I mean, I love it still.
Yes. It, yeah. I mean, you never know what you're going to find there. Like, that's a great example of, you can walk exactly. in and it's a bin that's been sitting out all day and nobody wanted this blanket for whatever reason. So I guess my next question, but I think I know the answer was, or is, did you sell it?
No, I haven't. I could never.
Isn't it funny? Like, there's some luxury pieces that we find and it's like, I will keep you for the rest of my life.
Exactly. Like, oh my gosh.
I will be buried with this item.
Exactly. Well, can you please wrap me in this blanket?
Yes, exactly.
It's like my burial shroud.
Right. Like, no, this isn't getting passed down through the generations. It's going with me.
Yeah, no, I'm taking it with me. Sorry.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, just like, you know, you're joking about the Jeffree Star thing, but I mean, that's entirely possible that it really could have.
Yeah, it totally could be, yeah.
Yeah, it totally could be, but it's just wild, you know, like the things that people are donating. I mean, I guess I'm glad they're donating it and not throwing it in the trash, but it's just wild that, you know, like such a nice luxury piece that just needed a good cleaning and, you know, the owner of it could have sent it off to the real, right? They would have sold that real quick, but it's just crazy what people will throw out or deem to be garbage. But you know, their loss is their gain.
Yeah, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Amen. Story of reselling. Okay, so you know, where do you see the future of your reselling business going? I mean, it sounds like you've got a really great operation. I mean, are you looking to grow or build it in different ways?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely always looking to growing. I definitely want to probably get like, and I'm thinking about getting like a studio space or something, so I can finally get everything like out of my room. I was actually going to do that like right before the pandemic hit, like I was going to do all that, but then I was like, yeah. Ooh, like obviously right. it's like better to just not do that at that time.
Yeah.
So once like kind of everything opens up again and all that, like I would definitely like love to get like my own space. I would love like even to be able to like have people come shop at like my space, like would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like to have like even to have like a brick and mortar one day would be so fabulous. And right. I would like, I don't know, I would love to actually have also, like, I know this is random, but I just love Home Decor so much. Like on my home, like maybe like home decor line, like maybe some like bowls or I don't know, blankets. But yeah, I would just love to grow the channel more and figure out even more like more ways to like sell things. I'm always looking for different things.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are some really great goals that you just mentioned. And yeah, I think for kind of the business and audience that you grew, maybe a brick and mortar store could be interesting, or at least having a space that people could come and see, like if you had like a curated collection of items, you know?
Yeah. That'd be ideal. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to manifest that for you. Everybody listening well.
Yes. I love manifestation.
Okay. So my surprise question I have for you for my Patreon group is not hard, I promise, but you know, in this conversation, you know, I talk with a lot of different resellers who have so many different business models. I think there's, you know, the maybe more traditional model of just selling on a marketplace like eBay, Poshmark, Mercari, whatever. And while you do sell on marketplace, which is Depop, you know, you're getting a lot of sales from YouTube and live selling, which I would say is different, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it might be the wave mm-hmm. of the future. We're seeing a lot more people do live selling on different social platforms for that matter. You know, so for somebody wanting to niche down in that way, you know, what advice would you give them for, I don't know, attracting the right audience or making it work in general?
Advice I would give, Well, first.
So my last question for you is, you know, if you could reflect back, if you could look back to when you first started, I don't know, whether you want to say thrifting or reselling or all of it in general, you know, what advice would you have given yourself when you were first starting out?
I would have told myself to just go all in, like not to be so like, not to be so timid about like reselling and even YouTube in general, like to just go for it. And I just like jump all in and not like try to not to be so critical and hypercritical of thinking things too much, like thinking over things too much and just kind of like holding myself back instead of just going forward and doing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's good too. Yeah, I think a lot of times we just overthink the process. And I mean, you know, you said in the beginning that when you started reselling, you kind of just jumped in and started doing all the platforms, right? But it's a quick way to find out which ones you want to stick with, right? Or how you want to work your business.
Exactly.
Instead of kind of sitting there and wondering, well, should I start this or should I do that? Or
all the other apps. Because a lot of people are like, oh, like if you want to make money reselling, you got to do it on all these different platforms. And like, then you get that mentality. It's like, oh, like all these other people are doing it. Like I have to do too. Like everything's different for everyone. You don't have to do 50 different platforms. You can focus on that one platform and do amazing. So
yeah, no, I totally agree with you, you know, in that respect. I think there's sometimes a lot of FOMO that comes in with it, right? Because you see somebody posting on whatever platform you're not posting on right now, right? Somebody says, oh my gosh, I've been killing it over here. The sales are wild. If you're not listing here, you should be.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing enough. But if what you're doing is working for you, you know what I mean? And you're successful and you don't have extra time in your life to be, you know, putting yourself in new arenas, don't do it.
Exactly.
Because then everything kind of suffers, I think. Then you're doing too much. then you're becoming a Hadrian in the beginning, right?
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of a Hadrian right now, but it's okay.
That's okay. Eternally working towards work-life balance, right?
Exactly. Always striving for that balance is key.
Yes. Someday all of us resellers will find it and then we'll sell that magic potion to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. This has been such a fun conversation and I feel like I've gotten to learn so much more about you and your business. And now I want to check out your 10:30 p.m. QVC channel sales because I just watched the playback of one, but like, I want to be there in the audience, just like rooting people on. Like, I'll just be like in there as like a hype person saying like, oh my gosh, somebody buy that quick.
Oh my gosh, that bag is so fabulous. Yeah,
I'll be in the audience like, I swear I saw comps last week that were like double what he's asking.
I think I saw Beyonce wearing that.
Yes. that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to have dinner at your house.
Oh, you're invited anytime. So
fabulous. All right.
Anytime well, you want we'll to drop soon. By. Definitely. Thank right. you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Hadrian for being on this week's episode of the podcast. It was so much fun getting to learn about your journey into thrifting and then reselling and learning about the unique business model that you have created for yourself. Again, Hadrian's information for YouTube and Instagram are in the show notes of this episode, so please go check out his YouTube channel and give him a follow on Instagram. Again, if you're enjoying the podcast and you'd like to support it, we have a donation level starting at just $1 at patreon.com/flipthescript. I really appreciate all of you and listening to my content through the years. It's been such an enjoyable journey. I hope that you are gaining some information from it and learning. I feel like I learn something new every episode when I speak with somebody. But in the meantime, I will talk with you guys soon. Have a wonderful week. Keep on listing and keep on selling.